The Irish Times led on its front page yesterday with a Leo Varadkar story. Today there is another one. Speaking to a student newspaper during a visit to the United States, the former Taoiseach said that while a majority of Irish people believe immigration had brought benefits to the country in recent years, people are also right to think that numbers have risen too quickly. Mr. Varadkar also had some advice for his successor, Simon Harris. He said Mr. Harris should call a general election sooner rather than later. He should not let the polls get to his head, as they could easily change. And perhaps the Taoiseach has already made up his mind. The Irish Independent, in its lead story, looks forward to a budget bonanza. Fionnán Sheehan reports that a €250 energy credit for the remainder of the year and a double child benefit payment before Christmas have been agreed for inclusion in the budget next week. According to Elaine Loughlin in the Irish Examiner, low and middle income earners are to benefit from a cut in the universal social charge from 4% to 3%, which would see hundreds of euro a year returned to their pay packets. Budget day is undoubtedly overhyped, writes Cliff Taylor in the Times. Most government spending and tax changes continue on from year to year, and the changes on budget day are small in proportion to the total. But the budget does matter, he says, and he explains to readers how this one will affect their living standards. The Irish Sun reports that the last suspect in the murder of County Tyrone woman Michaela McAreevy in Mauritius in 2011 has been cleared, shattering any hopes of justice. Jason Johnson writes that the case against a former security guard who had been arrested 2 years ago over the unsolved killing was thrown out by a judge yesterday, who, the paper says, slammed the cops in Mauritius. The family of a young soccer player, Roy Butler, are pictured on the Examiner's front page after the inquest into his death. Liz Dunphy reports that he suffered a catastrophic brain bleed 5 days after receiving a COVID vaccine. A pathologist, Margot Bolster, described Mr. Butler's death as baffling. She told the inquest that a direct causal link between his death and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine could neither be established nor ruled out. But she said the case should be referred to the National Drugs Advisory Board. The Irish Daily Star reports that red-faced officials at the embattled Office of Public Works have pulled a tender process for a new €600,000 PR contract, just hours after the Star revealed that they had advertised it. That paper, like the Irish Daily Mirror, says that yesterday it reported that the OPW was to spend up to €600,000 on communications specialists, which would help manage negative publicity amid the fallout of the bike shed and security hut controversies. But at 6:30 yesterday evening, in response to a press query, the OPW said it was not proceeding with the tender. No reason was provided. The Irish Daily Mail quotes Social Democrat TD Catherine Murphy as saying, "This is not monopoly money. It is the people's money and can only be spent once." In the Times, Conor Gallagher writes about the last days of Robert Deegan, the Irish Special Forces soldier who joined a frontline unit to fight against Russia in the war in Ukraine. The war in Gaza is prominent in the Examiner's report on an event in London celebrating the launch of Sally Rooney's new novel, Intermezzo. Manon Gilbert writes that in remarks at the South Bank Centre on Wednesday, Rooney said heritage sites, museums, libraries, schools and mosques, as well as arts venues and cultural centres much like this one, have been irretrievably destroyed. And that is not even to speak of over 40,000 people confirmed dead, each one a precious and irreplaceable life. She said the violent death of any civilian in Israel and Lebanon and Palestine is a terrible tragedy and an outrage.